I'm Mindy.
And I'm Darren.
And we are the Rance Macabre, covering all things horror.
Happy holidays,
yeah,
listeners. Welcome
it's
back.
That time of year again.
Again, yeah.
This is our third Christmas or holiday episode.
Yeah, I was thinking about that, our Christmas episodes are Christmas episodes. Yeah. I remember a long time ago looking up that there was a Hanukkah-themed horror movie.
Yes.
That I don't think it's available anywhere. I think it's just kind of like someone made it and then, I don't know, talked about it in public once and now it's on IMDb.
But, right. But I mean, I can't find this
item.
Yeah.
These holiday movies are generally, well, holiday horror movies are generally
Christmas-centric.
Themed,
yeah.
Or Krampus-themed, as
yes,
it would be.
But, exactly. So this is our third one.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
crazy.
We've gone through a lot of them. I was looking at our very first Christmas episode, and that was kind of like the blowout. That was some of
right.
the classics. That was Black Christmas, Silent Night, Deadly Night.
Sure.
What was the? There was a Krampus. There was like a Krampus short.
Oh, it was the creepy cartoon one.
Oh, that was actually our second Christmas episode.
Oh.
That was the Christmas fruitcake where we just kind of collected everything that was streaming because we couldn't be bothered to go after other Christmas movies.
Because we did so good on the first one, why go back?
Rare Exports was the third one in that
I
original Christmas.
I love that. That's a great Christmas movie.
Yeah, I was thinking in terms of favorite Christmas movies. I think Black Christmas is my all-time. Black Christmas I would watch and enjoy, frankly, any time of the year.
Okay.
I think the dynamic changes if it's a group watch, because then, like, I've come around on Silent Night, Deadly Night, and I think that is actually, like, a kitschy, fun group movie.
I was telling you before, Silent Night, Deadly Night has a lot going for it.
Yeah, movies
there
that
is a lot of psychological horror in there.
Well, there's...
It's a great origin story.
I agree with that. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Its execution, relegates it to one of these sort of terrible movies.
Yeah.
Yeah, that are terrible movies that are fun to watch.
Rare Exports is still my favorite Christmas horror
okay.
movie.
Yeah.
It's so cute and
it
it's
is.
Good
it
and
kicks
it's scary.
Ass.
There's
yeah.
so much going for it. And,
yeah.
and then there's like a touching father-son story at the same time.
Yeah, it's one of the like really dark. I mean, they pulled it off nicely in terms of like there's a pretty consistent threat to children
mm-hmm.
in that movie, and for a holiday movie, that's pretty ballsy.
Yeah.
but yeah, the character work is really good in that movie. Like it's sad and tragic, and it comes around to this really beautiful climax. And there's, you know, a lot of naked Santas, naked old men.
Yes.
A lot of slow mo balls just penduluming.
So you're saying there's something for everybody.
Do you have what is your not horror favorite Christmas movie? Regular favorite Christmas movie?
The Ref.
Oh, okay.
I love that.
I think you're the one who sold me on that.
It's
yeah.
just the best Christmas movie ever.
I felt bad that I had missed it. I think I had conflated it with other Dennis Leary movies. But The Ref is really funny. It's
yeah.
I feel like every movie now has like an asterisk next to it because Kevin Spacey in this case.
Oh,
but like,
yeah.
Like what happened to baseball with steroids is now going to happen with movies and like being a decent human being because
yeah.
like we're having to filter out.
Yeah, that sucks.
But in any case, The Ref, not for Kevin Spacey, that movie is very good.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. What about you?
I think Scrooged. I think Bill Murray's
Scrooged.
I think Scrooged, I do make an effort to watch every year.
That yeah. I remember when it first came out, I was so scared of the ghost one.
Ghost of Christmas Future.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It really scared me. Because
yeah.
Christmas
that
was a huge thing with my one grandfather who loved horror movies. He also
you know,
loved Christmas movies. And so we had to watch Home Alone, you know, and we had to watch
National Lampoon. We're about to talk about Home
yeah,
Alone.
Yeah, exactly. But he also loved Scrooged. And it had that great song, that great theme song.
I tear up. Every single time when Bill Murray is sort of monologuing at the end,
yeah,
I tear up every time. I try and keep Christmas in my heart all year round. When that little kid says "God bless us ever," the Tiny Tim line, holy shit! Quoting from the movie Niagara Falls.
Dude, Dude, that happened to me like last Christmas. I was watching The Muppets Christmas Carol, which is the best Christmas Carol that there is. And they're having this like really sad Christmas dinner at first because they don't have all the food. And
sure.
It's before every like Scrooge comes and gives them all the things. But they're still so happy with what they have. I started crying. My mom was like, "What is wrong?" I go, "They don't have anything, but they're so happy to be together." I don't know what's wrong with me.
I wish I was more satisfied with not having anything.
I know. But I recognize it in others. Think of your fellow man. Lend him a helping hand. Put a love in your heart. So we have A Christmas Carol. That's a great, you know, kind of Christmas story. But do you have any other Christmas stories that you like? Like book form stories? Like 'Twas the Night Before Christmas. I remember I had a uncle that used to recite it in front of people, like in a fancy way.
No, I always looked enviously at the like movie portrayal of people's Christmases. Like even people had a piano and would do like group songs. Mm-hmm. Like my family, none of us were singers.
So there you guys didn't do that.
No, it was just opening presents. There wasn't really traditions.
Yeah.
No, not really. And I mean, in Puerto Rico, it's a little lackluster to begin with as far as like, I mean, whatever. There's no chimneys. There's no fireplace.
It's not snowing.
Mantles. It is never snow.
With my uncle's book, 'Twas the Night Before Christmas, it came in a series, and there were like three Christmas-themed books. And I'll tell you, one of my favorite stories was one of those books. It's a Christmas story. It's a horror Christmas story.
Okay.
Here's how it goes. Let me describe it for you. You might know it. You might not. You might want to go read it after this. I don't know. So the story starts and we meet our protagonist in the middle of the woods, and he's hanging out with his family. Everyone is hanging out in the woods, and he is
hunting?
Very small. They're just in the woods.
Okay.
And he's very small, and the family makes fun of him for being small. And not only does the family, but some other characters come by and also make fun of him for being small.
The other woodland families.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's the woods.
People are always walking through the woods.
Yeah, it's the woods. You know, people are in and out of there. But he keeps getting embarrassed about how small he is, and all he wants to do is grow up and be big and be something, you know?
Okay.
So in the winter, a family, he's in the woods, and another family comes and abducts him from the rest of his family, and they take them to their house. There, they dress him up, and they worship him, and they treat him like a king for a night. And since he's used to being made fun of, he loves this. And he starts to pride himself on this adoration. And he's saying, like, yeah, this is great.
This family's so much better.
Exactly, exactly. And then the next day after that celebration is over, he thinks it's going to happen again and again and again, like the next day. But they don't. And they mostly undress him.
Uh-oh.
They put him in their attic and leave him there to just wither away in the attic all by himself. Okay. So left to die up there and left for months and months. And eventually it's springtime, and a member of the family that kidnapped him comes up to the attic. They drag the protagonist out of the attic. By now he is a withered shell of what he used to be. And once he's outside, the family members cut off all of his extremities and they put him on a pile, and then they burn him with the extremities. Everything is this big pile.
That escalated.
They throw our protagonist on the fire in the end, and that's the end of the story. And the story is called The Fir Tree by Hans Christian Andersen. It's the tale of a Christmas tree's life.
Oh. Oh, for God's sakes. Wow. Okay.
So the Christmas tree is fir tree. And that's why I have a fake tree.
Oh. Well, that's nice.
Isn't that the most horrific story you've ever heard?
Doesn't it sound kind of like a Christmas nightmare of what's the Dr. Seuss word?
Grinch?
Like, no, all the trees are gone. Like,
oh, the Lorax?
The Lorax, it sounds.
Well, see, the problem is like this, the fir tree is actually very prideful, and it's about like, don't be a prideful turd, or you'll get apparently cut down.
But I mean, my problem is that there's not really like an arc or a moral, really, aside from like, I can appreciate the parallel of like, hey, maybe if you don't need to cut down trees, don't. But otherwise, it's really violent and sounds pretty terrible.
Isn't it a sad ending, too? That's why I was trying to leave the fact that he was a tree to the very end.
All right. Well, that was dark. but who keeps a tree in the attic?
I don't know. Why didn't they throw it away, like, after Christmas?
It keeps the house smelling like pine.
I guess. All those needles fall off. It's very descriptive, and it's very sad.
And it also becomes, like, a fire hazard. You don't want to keep that around. Yeah. I don't know. Our family was always reluctant to take the lights down. So, like, it might have been February before we got around.
Well,
you
got to keep it up through Three Kings, you know, so that gives you a whole nother week after 2 weeks after Christmas.
Yeah, but there might have been 1 year where they never came down. I mean, I'm not describing the most joyous household. I grew up in a very happy home, generally.
I think Christmas lights make me happy. Clearly you had them.
Well,
happy.
We didn't continue to use them. It was just kind of like a blemish on the front of the house.
I can imagine your dad just being like, I'm not going to take them down because I don't want to put them back up.
It's like, I remember what it took to unwrap those fucking, to uncord and untangle those fucking things. I don't want to do that again. Yeah, I never really, never thought about that since it happened. But yeah, we would keep them up like unusually long, like unreasonably long.
See, I put mine up on Thanksgiving. It must go up on Thanksgiving. And then I take it down on New Year's Day. Then Christmas is over. New Year's Day, and that's it. The end.
Right, yeah. I remember you had mentioned that it goes up on Thanksgiving.
I'm very strict with my Christmas stuff.
You're very good with the calendar.
I wanted to put it up sooner, but I know that I should deprive myself of that joy until it's actually time. And then whether I want to keep it up past New Year's or not, you got to take it down because it's not special if it's up all the time.
Your tree is very, very decorated, very ornament heavy.
Yes,
is that copper?
The theme this year. So it's a theme. It's gold. I'm pointing as if our listeners can see, but we'll post a picture. Why not? I'll post a picture on the what is that, Twitter? So it's like woodland, but it's also like copper and gold and like a rose gold theme. And then I have burlap accents.
Theme every year?
No, last year it was blue and gold.
You really do it up.
Yeah,
you
and it was like gingham last year too. I get very serious, and so I don't allow like made ornaments to be on my tree. It must fit the theme.
All right, you're waiting for like Better Homes and Gardens to barge in and want a story behind
one
this.
One day they will. One day they will, but no, I don't allow like macaroni art on there. That's got to get the fuck right off. I feel one day I might have a child who will be like, I want to hang this ornament on the tree. And I'll be like,
not on
mommy's tree.
It's not on theme. It's like, why don't you try again? Why don't you go back and do something?
You knew the theme was green this year.
I gave you the palette 3 days before Thanksgiving, and I don't know what to tell you, but you failed.
Well, I planned this one. I planned this tree and started designing this tree about a year ago.
Really?
Yeah, because I like to buy the ornaments after Christmas on sale.
Okay. Is there, I mean, your apartment's not that big. Is there a giant box full of ornaments that, like, you select
from? The creepy thing under the stairs.
Okay. So that storage space has, like, how many trees worth of ornaments?
A few.
Okay. And do you, like, mix and match? Wow, Thanksgiving is starting to sound really stressful. Aside from, like, cooking. You then have to go through those boxes on a scavenger hunt according to your new motif.
Well, I keep them all together. So I have a bunch of blue. I have a bunch of red. I have a bunch of green separated. Okay. And the gold and the copper and everything, that's all brand new. And then, you know, my woodland creatures now that I have in the tree, it's all brand new.
Oh, that's an owl.
Yes, it's an owl.
Okay.
From Tony Wong, we might know from the show. He's been a guest on our show a few times.
Yeah, we're in the works to get him back on.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so
he knew the theme.
Now I'm seeing more and more owls. Okay, I'm with you.
Tony actually asked my mother because he wanted to give me a gift, and he knew that I'm very specific about my tree, so he asked my mother what the theme was for the year.
That's
because that's what friends do.
Okay, so if I'm reaching for a segue, there was a moment in the movie that we're about to talk about where the matriarch of the family is referred to, and it's kind of quickly and in passing, and so I realize that it's not your last name. I think they're Lerner.
Yeah! Right? Didn't you think it was my name for a long time?
Yes, I did.
I did, too. Yes, I thought, no one has that last name. I was like, this is amazing. Then I like looked it up on IMDb, and I was disappointed and sad, and I wish I hadn't.
Lerner Residence.
So, yeah, the movie we're going to be talking about is from this year, Better Watch Out.
Yeah.
So this Australian-American psychological horror film is directed by Chris Peckover and written by Peckover and Zach Kahn, who also wrote the story. So Chris Peckover is a Canadian, Canadian-born. His mother, however, is Australian, and by their rules, that entitles him to Australian citizenship. And they kind of use that to... well, as an in to make this movie in Australia.
Uh-huh. That's because Australia supports the arts.
Yeah, and they've got, like, really great tax breaks, it turns out. There's some pressure to, like, use a mostly Australian cast, and so that's why.
So he did!
So everybody in this movie, with the exception of Virginia Candyman Madsen and Patrick Warburton from Seinfeld Putty and The Tick, everybody else is Australian. That said, like... it took digging to come by that information because everybody's really good. I did not suspect
they
were...
good. I was about the girl. She was the first person who kind of tipped me off.
Yeah.
Olivia De Jong. She kind of had a few moments.
Little twang.
Yeah.
Little...
a few moments where that like popped
things
out.
Start to sound like a question. Sometimes they go up at the end. That's the accent chiming
in. It's the O's too that kind of give them away. But I thought everyone in here was doing a great job.
Yeah. Yeah. This was great. So it is tricky to talk about this movie without giving spoilers because it, without saying more, it is a twist-centered film. Yeah, it's tricky. I don't want to talk any more about it.
We won't talk about it anymore.
It's really strong, but,
let's talk about some of the people in it. Olivia De Jong and Ed Oxenbould, who play Ashley and Garrett, were brother-sister in The Visit.
Yeah.
We know them from that because I go, where do I know these guys
from?
Yeah,
him I recognize. For some reason, her I didn't recognize, but him I recognized. And yeah, he's the little brother in The Visit. We've got Luke in the movie, played by Levi Miller, who's also...
knocks it out of the park.
Australian. Yeah, he's really good. On his IMDb, I saw that next year he's got a movie coming out with Dane Cook and Udo Kier.
That's a weird cast of people.
It's not a horror movie, but it's totally going to be a horror movie.
It's going to be.
Yeah, no, he's there was a moment that it occurred to me in sort of layers where at first I was looking at him, I was like, he's like a very handsome young man who almost looks like a CGI character. And then I realized there's actually one scene I was looking at that he's out of focus and he's just like smooth.
You're like, oh, he looks like he's airbrushed.
Yeah, it did look that way.
So straight off the bat, when we're introduced to our characters, did you think that Putty was a creep or did he really like Ashley's sweater?
Oh, he was a creep.
Okay. Yeah. I thought maybe he just really liked the sweater because Virginia Madsen kept kind of like getting on Putty about kind of like being gayish.
For as strong as this movie is, I thought the adults in the movie were not written particularly well.
Robert, turn that shit off. It's giving me a migraine.
Yes, darling, my ornaments are conspicuously missing from the tree.
We're not putting those on the tree.
No shoes, or I'll chop your legs off below the knees.
You sure you've never sucked another man's cock? Not even in college? Not some lost weekend? Fishing trip? Secret special friend? Ever?
Not that I can recall.
Because... honestly, Robert, this is so...
metrosexual?
That's not even the word. It's metro. Metrosexual.
I'm allowed to like gay things.
So I was confused. I was like, is he a creep? Because with the climate like it is, I figure maybe everyone's a creep. So then I thought maybe I'm overthinking this and he just really liked that sweater.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, no, he was effusive towards Ashley. It was uncomfortable. Yeah. But, okay, so... earlier this year, Netflix put out The Babysitter, directed by McGee, and I'm just thinking in terms of like the themes of babysitter and young kid. You know, it's kind of an easy go-to. It's very much like a classic, you know, when a stranger calls kind of dynamic.
Sure.
That like you know one's gonna have to take the reins and defend the house, and in that way it sort of follows a home invasion. And that's kind of how the synopsis speaks of it. And I'm going to read this and don't take too much from this, but on a quiet suburban street, a babysitter must defend a 12-year-old boy from intruders, only to discover it's far from a normal home invasion. That's not too spoilery, right?
Sounds like it's aliens.
It does sound like aliens. It's not aliens. I'll spoil that much. This is not an alien-centered movie.
Are you misdirecting? Are you pulling a Shyamalan right now?
Maybe I am. Shyamalan.
It's the trees.
It's the Christmas trees. Like your short story, they want revenge. They saw what happened to their nephew in the attic. They're back for revenge.
There is a line in this movie that's going to be my line now whenever I'm going to be in a horror movie, where she's getting menacing phone calls.
Yeah.
And he's like, I see you. And so she goes,
if you can see me, how many fingers am I holding up?
Why did I never think of that? I love flipping people off.
That was pretty funny. I really was partial to so once they are sort of being intimidated inside the house, Luke is trying to be a tough guy. He's like a very skinny 12-year-old kid. So when his voice breaks, like, I laughed out loud.
Yeah.
There were moments where I was certain that, like, that was a brilliant moment of direction because his voice goes up and, like, ruins any sort of authoritative tone he might have had.
He was great. Like, he was so good.
When he's shouting through the front door at whoever might be threatening them.
Luke, no, don't. What are you? Luke!
Whoever's out there. Cut it out. I know Taekwondo.
Yes. It kind of reminded me of you and your nunchucks.
Even if Chuck Norris were to say that, I would still have to fucking giggle. Like, I'm sorry. And I mean, as it goes, like, I happen to hold a black belt in Taekwondo. Sure, I was 14 at the time, but I still laugh. Like, Taekwondo is not a threatening thing.
If you threatened me with it, I would laugh in your face. I mean, you might kick me. I don't know, but I would still laugh.
Swing, turn, spin, kick. That's
wow. 20 years later, see if you still got it, Darren.
No, I can guarantee I'll split my pants, but that's all I can guarantee.
There were a lot of really funny lines in this movie. I found myself laughing so much.
I really liked Garrett.
Yeah.
That kid, like, he's also got a little bit of a lisp, and it's really authentically young. But, like, everybody in this is so well cast that it's just – it feels very natural. And for that reason, like, you're involved. And when the twists start coming, like, it's that much more shocking. The actors are really good.
They are really good. And did you notice also we have someone from Stranger Things, my favorite character of the second season, because I hated the second season all except for this character. Well,
really?
Steve.
That's dark. That's you hated the second season except for the human monster.
I loved him.
Oh, God.
That's my style.
Oddly telling. So you're talking about Jeremy, the ex-boyfriend,
yes,
who is played by Dacre? I'm guessing that's how you pronounce,
like,
that name.
I think it's like Dacre, like acre of land.
Okay, so Dacre Montgomery, who I recognize his face, but I didn't know what I knew him from.
Stranger
and then
Things.
I looked it up, and he plays Bill Hargrove in Stranger Things Season 2. And he's a really good villain. It's really unsettling.
Because he's kind of like Rob Lowe, and you know why I like him. I like him because he's like Rob Lowe in St. Almost Fire.
Yeah, and I think he spends enough time that it made a memory of just like jeans and no shirt, like Top Gun volleyballing,
sure,
like that kind of aesthetic. But the mullet and the like faint shitty mustache,
yeah,
like it's someone we all know. It's someone we all grew up with, at
of
least
of course.
That, like, did he drive a Camaro? Like, I, it was just,
or,
it was,
or
so,
like a Firebird or something. Yeah,
it was
of course.
Yeah, it was one of those. So he's so good in that. Here he plays like a broed out douchebag.
Yeah, he looks kind of like Ali G, kind of.
Yeah,
with
it's
the
kinda,
hat and the big jacket.
I was thinking there's the Reddit meme of the, like, I don't know what it's called, but it's the guy with the, like, is it a Dolce & Gabbana patterned hat? Like a backwards hat? It's just whatever. It's an archetype that they've turned into a meme. But yeah, he is just through and through. He's very good at playing an asshole.
Yeah, he's a good asshole.
Yeah.
What the fuck? Where's the hose? I'm spraying whoever's out there.
So through the story, I was regularly impressed by Olivia DeJonge as Ashley. For a teenager, they don't try and make her into a superhero, but she is clever and she is, like, always working. Like,
yes,
she is all – even, you know, there are moments where she's not speaking, but she's still acting some more. And I really like that, like, she's kind of relentless. She's a pretty good heroine.
Yeah, she is great. Everyone is directed so well in this movie because you're absolutely right. When they're not on, they are still on.
Yeah.
And which you should think as an actor, of course, you're always on. But there's often times where someone's just kind of standing, taking up space, not doing anything. And you mentioned The Babysitter. That was a film where there was a lot of people standing around in a scene, taking up space, not doing anything.
Yeah, Miskatonic Musings covered The Babysitter. Yeah, I don't know. I had mixed feelings because overall, it's not a good movie.
Yeah, I did not like it.
This is a far better movie. They're not really related, but it's just as far as dynamics go. But yeah, in this case, I don't know, the accent and the sort of mention of nonverbal acting reminded me that on her IMDb bio, it does mention that she is fluent in French and English. And I was like, why are you padding your resume? Like, you're Australian. We hope you're fluent in English. Like,
yeah, right.
No need to pat yourself on the back for that one.
You quit showing off.
This is not okay.
Whatever. Neither is like political corruption in West Africa. By the way, I need help with that paper. It's due Monday.
In interviews, I read Chris Peckover talking about the production crew and how shooting in Australia turned out to be a huge blessing in terms of the production crew sharing movies like The Hobbit and the Lord of the Rings films. And so, like, he's got the A crew through and through. I think the only things that kind of bother me a little is, like, it is pretty obviously not winter time. It is not a authentically snowy environment. Like, it kind of looks like
but it's fake Christmas, snow sprayed on the stucco. We usually don't have snow on Christmas.
We had snow like 3 days ago.
But that was unusual.
Sometimes it's not that unusual. A white Christmas in New York is not that unusual.
We haven't had one in like 5 years. That was a blizzard, BTW.
Well, but I mean, there were a couple of years in a row that we had snow on Halloween. Like, it's not that unusual. I do.
I recall the blizzard that we had because that was the year I fell down the stairs.
You didn't know. Oh.
And then I just sat there at the bottom of the stairs. And the neighbors looked at me.
But so there's never any breath out of anyone's mouth. The snow on the ground doesn't look awesome.
I was along for the ride. I didn't give a fuck what was going on.
It didn't take me out of it. You know what? I only noticed it on the second time viewing it.
If it had been like dark shadows, like felt snow even, I would have still gone along with it because I was really into it.
I remember vividly in, what was the snowman horror movie? Jack Frost.
Jack Frost.
Say Jack off.
practically.
All the same. But Jack Frost, they did have white felt.
Yeah.
On, like, just covering, I don't know, like, log, like, cut logs that are on the side of a house. But this isn't nearly that bad. This is
not bad at all. Why are you acting like this is a bad movie? I really liked it.
Oh, no, it's just that one production moment.
Oh,
most of the movie
the
is inside the house, and all that stuff looks great.
Yeah.
Like, it's just, it looks way more expensive than it actually turned out to be. Like, this is quite an indie, I think, at the moment. It's on Shudder. So, like, the execution's brilliant. Yeah, it was just little moments here and there. The doorknobs, I thought, were kind of a giveaway that, like, this is not the United States. The doorknobs in the house were very high.
Oh, I didn't.
At first, I thought it was maybe because they've talked about, it's not Kevin. What is this?
Are Australian people tall? Why are their door handles high?
I thought maybe it was specific to Luke's door because Virginia Madsen kind of shows that she does, like, a pencil trick to sure he hasn't been sleepwalking. And so I thought, like, maybe he's got a high door, so when he's sleepwalking, he doesn't find it. Like, he just kind of, I don't know anything really about sleepwalking, like, how much, like, problem solving you can do in that state. But if the doorknob was slightly higher than it normally is, could you not open that? But yeah, I don't know. Tall doorknobs, keep a lookout for it.
Fair enough. Weird thing to notice.
That pencil trick, I was impressed by how effective that actually turned out to be. That, like, it's not something you can fake. I really like that moment. And it was very, you know, very strategically placed in the plot to sort of pay off. But overall, like, I thought it was a good one.
So there is some interesting, innovative violence in this film. And one of them is a Mythbusters-style Home Alone style.
It's like with the paint cans.
Oh my God, are we seriously back to the paint can debate? I ended that last week.
I was unconvinced.
No. We looked it up. That ER doctor said that the paint can would have smashed the robber's face in.
Which, have you ever watched the video of Home Alone, the like super cuts of the violence with blood injected? Okay, so this is high up on your to-do list, because someone sort of accurately noted that little Kevin from Home Alone would have actually been a murderer,
right?
Because he strategically set booby traps that would kill any mortal man.
Yeah, the only thing that's no good is the burning handle. I remember that from Mythbusters. They're like, would have melted off.
Oh, the doorknob itself would have melted. Really? What if it was like copper?
No. I mean, I watched the Mythbusters there. Facts is facts.
We'll put a link up to the video, the supercuts of Kevin from Home Alone, you know, repeatedly killing Daniel Stern and Joe Pesci like a cartoon.
Because it's not funny, but I'm giggling.
No, I mean, but it's treated like a cartoon. So it's fine to laugh. I mean, they're designed for laughs.
Yeah.
That is funny to think that, the first time around, we all watched that movie and just laughed our balls off.
But remember, like, when Beavis and Butthead, like, got in trouble for setting someone on fire or something?
No,
and that was a huge thing?
It was the frog and the firecracker.
Oh, I thought they set a person on fire or something. With Tipper Gore and
maybe
her always getting angry, I could just not keep anything straight. But,
Tipper
like,
Gore
no one ever gets mad. No one ever gets mad about Home Alone. No one says shit about it.
No. And it's surprising considering how much that movie plays like an episode of Three Stooges. But I think we've gone on a tangent. But we can't really say too much more about Better Watch Out because we'd very quickly move into spoiler territory. I think we both would highly recommend it.
I would absolutely recommend it. I really loved it.
Yeah. And for our Patreon episode, we're going to be talking about the best movies of our favorite movies of the year. And I think this is an honorable mention.
Oh, it's on my top five.
Oh, yeah?
Oh, yeah.
Cool. So leaving it there, you know where to find us. We're on social media. We are at Rants Macabre on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook.
Yeah,
and
drop us a line.
Yeah, we've gotta be a little more disciplined at checking our email, but we do read everything. It just might take a little while.
But we're almost done with this semester. You're finishing your first semester of grad school.
Yeah, next semester is also three classes, so I'm gonna be January some spare time. So we're gonna work up some pretty dope stuff for the coming year. But yeah, until then, stay in touch, all, and Merry Christmas to all,
and to all a good night.
This is me, Darren, signing off.
This is Mindy. Thanks. Another day goes by.